Hello everyone, welcome to the Right Back At You podcast, the noughties pop music podcast with myself, Joel Babington, and my superior co-host, David Lim.
This is our first recording of this year in 2019.
Happy New Year, David.
Happy New Year to you too.
Happy New Year to our listeners.
To you all, yes. Because the last time, I know we put out our Samantha Mumba episode on the 2nd of Jan, but that was actually recorded before Christmas. Because, you know, things take time to get edited and whatnot. But this is us formally together living and breathing in the new year. I feel like I haven't seen very much of you since recording Sam's episode. No. Just to acknowledge as well, Joel got me Victoria Beckham's 2001 autobiography, Learning to Fly. Yes. And Mel B's very first autobiography, Catch a Fire. So I've been busy, and this is vital information. This is great literature that I'm discovering, almost 20 years after, but, you know, here we are.
Here we are, and David got me Melanie Brown's brand new autobiography, Brutally Honest. We'll also do a book swap, so we're going to get to read then and now, and we'll have the whole history.
Between us, we're going to cover it all, and we're going to open a Right Back At You book club. Sort of like the Oprah book club. But
better.
Yeah.
But more spicy.
Exactly.
So if anyone wants to join that, you know, let us know.
Yeah, bring your own autobiography from the noughties. Mm-hmm. Did Holly Valance ever do one? I mean...
Oh, Holly Candy, Exposed, Unleashed. The story and more. Beyond the headlines, in the headlines, out of the headlines. We must acknowledge the Princess of Pop, Britney Spears, has cancelled her second Vegas residency. Selfishly, I'm devastated, but, you know, professionally, good for her for taking family first. In her entire 20-year career, she has never done anything
like
this.
She's never done this.
Never cancelled anything, a big tour. You know, she's cancelled the odd show, but she's never done, I'm taking family first for a while.
I hope that everything is fine.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to the Spears family. Brittany, we'll miss you while you're out of the spotlight, but your fans are going to be here forever.
Yeah,
so you
we'll
take
be
the
here.
Time that you need.
Absolutely. We'll be ready when she is. Yeah.
Do you know what? 2019, I'm still in that place where I do not know what day it is, what day of the week,
what date it is.
I've seen some great theatre and film. Went to see The Inheritance Parts 1 and 2 before it closed.
Wow.
I feel like I saw something else the other day, which I can't remember now, so it can't
be
as good. I saw The Favourite, yeah. I took my mum to go and see The Favourite, which was so inappropriate. So the thing is that me and my mum are so close. We have a very, you know, my mum is a very progressive woman. We have a very close relationship. I can talk to her about anything. I always say to anyone, if you ever meet my mum, just be yourself. Go for it. Just please, 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 whatever you do not say the C word in front of her. Because that is just the one word she, you know, it really upsets her. And that there's C-bombs dropped left, right and centre in that film. I was just like looking away. Right, so do you know what my mum said to me on the train? So I've just got back from seeing my family for the weekend, which has been lovely. But on the way there, my mum goes to me, asking me about someone I'm dating at the moment. And she went, ah, Charlie, are they into bonding? When she clearly meant bondage. We do not need to speak about this at all.
But I love that she went there. Like, straight up.
She
went there.
she didn't realise what she was saying. You know, like, she did, but she didn't. Because it's like, what am I going to turn around and go, oh, yeah, he is. Like, or... you know.
Oh, Wendy.
But I tell you what, moving on from last week's Dublin's Finest Samantha Mumba pop star episode, which I'm just going to say again, thank you to people for listening. It really felt like that episode really just picked up some extra buzz, and we've had some lovely messages of people listening to our podcast, going back, listening to other episodes. So, you know, if you did find us from Samantha, I hope you've stuck around. We've got our past 10 episodes for you to listen to. Delve in, pick your fave, Billy Piper, the pop stars, Hearsay, Liberty X.
Atomic Kitten,
S Club Juniors, any of them you want to listen to them all, treat yourself. Hopefully that will help. If anyone's got those January blues, just listen to us rabbit on about pop music.
Exactly.
Because I don't know about you, David, a big reason I'm so passionate about pop music is it's always been sort of that escapism for me.
Absolutely.
And if you're feeling down, that is my, you know, it can be at times, it turned to it as an antidepressant kind of thing. You just need to, if you're feeling down, that escapism, you lose yourself in the world.
Yeah, I mean, you know, create an immersive experience for yourself. But yeah, thank you so much. That was absolutely fantastic to see so many people responding on social media. You can, of course, tweet us or, you know, message us on Instagram and comment, or, you know, leave us comments on Facebook. We're at Right Back Pod. Make sure you find us. And we tend to put stuff up on our Insta stories as well.
Oh, David mainly does the Insta stories, and he's
I love an Insta story. I love an Insta story moment. So there's always like fun things you can sort of get involved with there.
You might have missed me on Loose Women in the audience. And, you know, keep your eyes peeled on the Insta stories from this episode, because you might see something quite funny.
So, Joel, who are we talking about this week?
I said to David, you know, we are a noughties pop music podcast.
Uh-huh.
And what's so lovely about what we're going to do this week, because we do focus on the Y2K era, but we're going to do something from the second half of the noughties this week.
I don't think we've done that yet.
Not really. Not, I guess Liberty X was the latest.
But I mean, what year was that? I thought Ashley Simpson was the latest.
Oh, Ashley Simpson, maybe.
2004, she was.
She started. So, yeah, she was done probably by about 2006, 7 of what we were talking about. Or 8, 2008.
Yeah.
But we are taking you from 05, kind of, when it gets interesting, from 05 to 09.
Yeah.
We are talking about the Pussycat Dolls.
Iconic. Like, absolutely one of the biggest girl groups of all time. Like, we're not just saying the noughties or the second half of the noughties. They are, in fact, one of the biggest girl groups of all time. For them to have achieved that in such a short amount of time as well, absolutely phenomenal. You know, in the noughties, I was, especially this half of the noughties, I was obsessed with Sugar Babes, Girls Aloud, and the Pussycat Dolls. Like, this was, it was just my life.
And especially because they're kind of like pop R&B, it must have just been
right up my street. Ugh.
And it was of this time, the second half of the noughties, we didn't have as much pop as we had previously had, how we've kind of said in previous episodes. So to have this big, glitzy
Girl group.
Bloody adored it, because they were so good as well.
Yeah, and we singing, didn't have much dancing
costumes, especially as I was a young kid at stage school at the time. So me and my friends literally worshipped them.
Aww.
Because, you know, as we were training, you could kind of appreciate what they were doing, as they're all such trained dancers. But jokes aside, there is such that big theatricality to it.
So the Pussycat Dolls have sold 15 million albums, 40 million singles worldwide, a string of UK top three hits, but we're going to take it back to the origin. It's all the way in Los Angeles.
Can I just say, off the back of that, I hope the X Factor hire you next year to replace that guy during the voiceover.
You better stop. The Pussycat Dolls, you said before 2005 was when it really starts to get exciting for the brand.
Of the incarnation that we know.
Of the pop group Pussycat Dolls that we know. But as a lot of you will know, the actual concept of Pussycat Dolls originated as a cabaret burlesque dance group.
That they did.
Yeah, and it actually started all the way back in 1995. So a good 10 years before the PCD album.
Yeah, all created by Robin Antin. We must say, she is the visionary of the Pussycat Dolls. There would She's be the no boss. Pussycat Dolls without her.
1995, Robin Antin, choreographer, all-round boss, entrepreneur, comes up with the concept of the Pussycat Dolls. It sort of came from a little brainstorm she had with her best friend at the time, Christina Applegate.
And can I just say, I bloody love Christina Applegate. When I found out she was used to perform with them, she was an original
Original Pussycat Doll.
Because she was a huge TV star in 95. She was a star of Married with Children.
Still in Married with Children?
Yeah. Wow. Peak Married with Children time.
Wow.
So it's so, you know, not the known thing for an actor to do.
She was having a Hannah Montana moment.
Oh, wasn't she just? A bit saucy. You know what? Maybe that's my 2019 project. A gritty, independent film. Sitcom TV star by day, burlesque dancer by night.
I mean, that is burlesque 2, really.
Burlesque 2.
So Robin Anton was getting a couple of girls together for this concept of bringing back burlesque, but, you know, they want to do it with a modern twist, a little bit rock and roll. Johnny Depp loved the concept of it, gave them a residency at his nightclub, the Viper Room, where they stayed for 6 years.
Incredible.
In the year 2000, Gwen Stefani shows up. Carmit Bacca, she's the redhead.
Queen.
Yeah.
Absolute queen.
So Carmit was already in the Pussycat Dolls. Like, she's been in it from, like,
one of their sort of more original OG members.
Exactly. So she is OG member. So she had actually worked with Gwen Stefani, like, around that time. And so she invited Gwen to come down to see the Pussycat Dolls in the year 2000. And Gwen saw the show, loved it, and just said, oh, you know, she wanted to be part of it, but she didn't want to just dance with the girls. She wanted to sing. So Gwen Stefani actually became the first singing celeb guest for the Pussycat Dolls. So it was her that really planted the idea into Robin Anton's head of what this could be.
And then off the back of that, it became infamous. They had so many different celebrity guest singers, Christina Aguilera. Then Carmen Electra started to be with them, and she was quite a frequent member, kind of semi-full-time member.
Yeah, semi-full-time for about 2 years, Carmen Electra, yeah. That Scarlett Johansson.
Brittany Murphy, RIP, absolute icon.
Actual Britney.
So do you think it was Christina Aguilera's sort of involvement way back from then that ultimately got her cast in burlesque, do you think?
I mean, it would have to be. You know, she's in Robin's books.
Agency books. Yeah. I can give you a girl. Do you need a girl with a voice?
So 2003 was when they really started to shift the gears. Robin is transforming the brand into a pop group, and she's partnering it with Interscope, which is fantastic. I mean, it's a big, big label that has the Black Eyed Peas and so many, like, amazing talent on their roster. So Jimmy Iovine assigns them Ron Fair, this producer and A&R guy who's worked with Christina Aguilera, the Black Eyed Peas. I mean, this is all sounding very incestuous now. And together, Robin and Ron Fair held auditions all around the country. They saw 500 girls. This was advertised on MTV. Out of this audition came Melody Thornton, who would eventually make the group. A girl called Kaya Jones, who was sort of in a group for a hot minute.
Yeah, there's rocky kind of information with, like, two girls, isn't it? Kaya Jones and someone else who kind
Claude,
of...
Claude, yeah. Claude. No, really, that's her name.
Yeah, Margaret.
No, Claude was the other girl, and she was in the Don't Show video.
I'm not getting ahead of ourselves. When that first came out, and then we kind of knew who the lineup were, I used to sort of, talking about pausing videos again, I used to try and figure out, because I was like, I think there's too many girls that, like, it looked like there was one extra girl in it, and I was trying to figure that out.
So out of this open casting call, they were also, you know, reaching out to industry contacts. Does anyone know anyone that could do this? And Nicole Scherzinger of Eden's Crush.
Eden's Crush, pop stars US girl band, Eden's Crush.
Now, they had already disbanded by this point. She initially was very, very reluctant to go into it because her main ambition is to be a solo star.
No shit.
Since this was an opportunity to get herself in front of Ron Fair and in front of Jimmy Iovine, she went for it. She turned up wearing glasses, grey pinstripe trousers that she just bought from Forever 21, so she was looking very nerdalicious. Robin Anton looked at her and said, uh-uh, this is not going to work. You're auditioning for the Pussycat Dolls. But bottom line is, they knew they found a superstar the minute she was in front of them and doing her thing. Great voice, great looks, can definitely dance.
Oh, yeah.
So she is the whole package. So that was the point where they decided, okay, we're going to build a whole group around you.
Mm.
And that's where the Pussycat Dolls pop group started.
Pre-Pussycat Dolls, Roberts. Ashley Roberts was in Carmen Electra's Striptease workout DVD, which I used to have. And I used to do that at home as my workout when I was a teenager. So it was me, Ashley, Carmen, and some other girl all working out in the living room. I'm so glad this just popped back into my mind. Jessica Sutter has a one-line cameo in the greatest movie musical of all time of the noughties, From Justin to Kelly.
On June 20th.
Come with us to Miami. It's not my scene.
Music will bring two strangers together.
Hey, they go from the beach.
And nothing can come between them.
I'm gonna ask her out again.
Except all their friends.
So what does a girl need to do to get you?
There are a million hot girls here, and you're still talking about the one girl who blew you off.
Kelly Clarkson.
I should take a chance.
Justin Guarini.
This girl is special.
In the musical event of the summer. From Justin to Kelly. Rated PG. June 20th only in theaters.
She goes, Justin, you've got to put us on the Margaritas Madness list. That's it.
So, now we come to 2004, MTV Asia Awards in Singapore, the Pussycat Dolls' first ever performance.
Televised performance.
I mean, this is a big fucking deal. This is an award ceremony watched by, like, all of Asia. They're opening the show. Yeah. With Big Spender, and it's Melody Thornton.
Lead vocal. No solo from Nicole at all.
No. In fact, I think if we watch MTV Diaries, Nicole was sort of having a gripe about it. She was just like, oh yeah, I was on the side of the stage, and I sort of came in there, and I've never lip-synced in my life before, but I was lip-syncing in that moment.
Because I think with the Pussycat Dolls, they kind of struck gold with the pop R&B thing. I think it took them a while to find that, because you'll see with this performance and then what we're about to see with their first ever single, Sway, I think they were still trying to bring the burlesque aspect to the mainstream.
Yeah.
And I think that was going to be it. I wonder if at this point, was Melody the lead singer?
Yeah,
yeah. The minute you walk in the joint, I can see you're a man of distinction, but we're a big spender.
I was watching another interview, and they were saying this performance was literally put together a week of them becoming a group. So yeah, maybe Nicole was still, you know, learning the routines, or she's not as confident as a dancer, or, you know, whatever it is, the situation is. She was more to the side of this one.
Or do you know what it also could be? Maybe Melody wasn't confident with the dancing.
Ah, and they say so you focus on...
And we'll do it around you.
Yeah, maybe that's
because Nicole is a good dancer.
Following that, in September 2004, comes their debut single, a cover of Sway.
For the Shall We Dance soundtrack, starring Jennifer Lopez.
So sweet. And this, Joel, I have to say, is a fantastic cover.
It is a fantastic cover, and it's also a fan favourite, I would say.
When marimba rhythms start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, burn with me, sway with ease.
This sort of, to me, feels like a bridge between the old Pussycat Dolls,
definitely
cabaret style, and the kind of new pop group that is to emerge. And I have to say, the kind of pop jazz standard kind of sound really suits Nicole's voice.
It does, but it would never work if they tried to do every song.
Oh,
like
no. But what I want is like a Nicole Strictly album.
Yeah, Nicole Canary Wolf residency doing these kind of songs.
At the Boydale or Boisdale or however you want to call it. Okay, so in the same month, we had another cover by the Pussycat Dolls. They covered LaBelle's Went As Far As We Felt Like Going on the Shark Tale soundtrack.
Okay, I'll do a David Lim here. I didn't know that was a cover.
I didn't know it was a cover until Wikipedia today. But I absolutely love this soundtrack.
That's lovely. That is a lovely sound.
This is a great track. And also the whole soundtrack, the Shark Tale soundtrack, was really, really good. Yeah. Lots of originals and really good covers.
Their version of Car Wash. A lot of people were always busting that one out at school.
Yeah, no, that was a definite favourite at school. The Christina Aguilera and Missy Elliott Car Wash. But also JoJo had a track on there.
Oh, what song was JoJo's song?
It was called Secret Love, and it's written by my Aussie pop darling, Samantha Jade.
Cheers to Samantha Jade. So another chance of them getting themselves out there.
So that's all happening, and then we get to April 2005 with Don'tcha.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you?
iconic. I mean, this is a debut single.
No, this is the debut single.
The Sugar Babes have said that it was offered to them at one point.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it down and then they wanted it, obviously, after they'd heard this version.
Did they?
Yeah.
And also, apparently it was offered to Paris Hilton.
A girl like Paris Hilton would get teared apart for singing a song like this. What I will say, getting into the Pussycat Dolls, because people could say it's objectifying or whatever, but Don't You Wish Your Girlfriend Was Hot Like Me, I Don't Need a Man, there is just so much like, we're confidence. Here, we're the shit, we're doing it. And also, it never felt like sort of you can't sit with us kind of thing.
No.
It felt like they were calling you to be part of their gang.
Yeah. So Don'tcha actually was released initially by an R&B singer called Tori Alamaze. Now, Tori's version did sort of moderately well on the urban radio charts. I know I'm on your mind. I know we'd have a good time. I'm your friend. I'm fun and I'm fine. I ain't lying. Look at me. Shit. You ain't blind. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Oh, don't you wish your girlfriend... So, let's talk about the music video. This was a fiasco. There's so much going on.
So much.
So much.
I mean, I just remember this song, this music video, such an impact. Me and my friends absolutely loving it. My sister is a few years older than me. Her and her friends absolutely loving it. It made you feel like you were really cool because you loved it, but people older than you were loving it as well. And the music video was incredible, especially as someone that was studying dance, seeing people that are doing such good dance routines. You just wish you could do it as good as them. And there's so much going on. So many girls. Little Robin Anton cameo again. She's a little...
Fedora.
Yeah.
With the 2004 MTV Asia Awards, their styling for that was, you know, very traditional burlesque.
Mm. We still love a feather boa.
We love a feather boa corset situation. But this video...
Oh, they found their little R&B edge.
It's like, who are these girls? I mean, everyone is very urban-fied. You know, the styling is very Fergie, Gwen Stefani of the time.
And thank God.
Kim Wyatt, I was watching an interview with her. She said on this video shoot, she wasn't sure of her status in the band.
Really?
So as we said earlier, there was a seventh member of the Pussycat Dolls in this video. If you squint, you might see her. So it was between her and Kim Wyatt.
Really?
So Kim was saying in her interview that every single shot in this
Don'tcha
video...
She is just going for it.
She was going for it. She was saying, I need to kill every single shot. She's got her signature move.
Leg.
She's the leg up in the air. But, you know, everyone has their role.
Yeah, and we used to live for it when she would do the leg.
Oh, yeah, I still live for it. I still love it. But she got in. She was confirmed after this video. The single debuted at number 95 on the US Hot 100. 16 weeks later, it peaked at number 2. It was blocked from going number 1 by my queen, Mariah.
And we someone who together. I'm now a big fan of recently.
Thank God for that, because otherwise this podcast is cancelled.
We have to also say, just from looking at David on social media, shout out to that Mariah Carey podcast, because David is living for it.
Oh, yeah. The Mariah Report, which now follows me on Instagram. I mean, this is... I found my people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole part of us doing this is we just want you guys to be part of the conversation with us.
Yeah, and just fangirl with us. Absolutely.
Because that's all we do 24/7.
Yeah. So, Don'tcha wasn't released in Europe, Asia, and Australia for another 5 months. So, they were slowly taking it over. In all those months, it waited for Don'tcha to be released in the UK. It charted on number 44 based on imports alone. And then when it was finally released in September, boom, number 1, platinum. And in Australia...
I feel like you should just say that every time you enter a room.
The single also made number 1 in Australia. It became the second biggest selling single of 2005 there. So next comes, in September 2005, the PCD album.
I'm looking at the track listing and it's hard to point out songs because they were all bloody singles.
This came out in my first year of university. I was working at McDonald's, doing casual shifts at that time, and I had somehow managed to convince the store manager to allow me to pick the in-store music. Oh. I mean, this is foreshadowing of what I will end up doing in every single one of my jobs in all the years to come. Like, just completely take over the office stereo. So I used to make these, you remember the days of MP3 CDs?
Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah, you know, when you could burn the normal CD and you could only maybe cram like about 18 tracks on it. But then if you do it as an MP3, it's like hundreds and hundreds of songs. So I used to like create all these folders of music, and I would put the PCD album tracks in there mixed in with everything else. So, you know, people were there having their Big Macs, you know, their quarter pounders or whatnot. And then, you know, how many times, how many lies would come on.
How many times, how many lies is a good track? It's Diane Warren.
That's a Diane Warren's track. I mean, there's so many big people that worked on this album. Let's listen. We've got Timbaland, will.i.am, CeeLo Green, Diane Warren, Polo the Don, who's done Fergie's stuff, Black Eyed Peas stuff, Rich Harrison, who did Beyonce's Crazy in Love and A-Marie's One Thing, Kerry Hilson.
Queen.
So my favourite from the album, and I think the version we have in Australia has like some bonus tracks, Flirt.
Yeah.
Oh, big rock guitars, very Bratz dolls.
Yeah,
remember very, when Bratz had music?
So you can see why it's a bonus track, though, because tonally it different to the rest of the album.
It's so heavy rock. Hot Stuff, I Want You Back. Great track.
Yes. Yeah.
Another one of my standout favourites. The beat actually came via Siobhan Fahey from Bananarama. So she's listed as a co-writer on this.
Yes, girl.
PCD, the album, debuted and peaked at number 5 in the US. It would go on to sell 3 million copies over there, certified 2x platinum. In the UK, it debuted at number 8, but then eventually would reach a new peak of number 7 when Buttons came out. Certified 4x platinum, selling over 1.2 million copies. Australia debuted at number 16, and then 10 months later, it reached a peak of number 8. 10 months later. I mean,
this was the time. What was so, which I love looking back in the noughties. These albums, the signature albums, were just always in the charts.
Yeah.
Like, you know how now it will only be like Adele's album will just always be in the charts.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I look at it and I was like, yeah, Kelly Clarkson did that with Breakaway. That was always in the charts. Like, people forget how huge an album that was.
Mm, absolutely. So PCD definitely did that. There was some amazing promo around this time as well, so we need to acknowledge their very first award show performance as well, as Pussycat Dolls, the pop group.
This is it.
Yeah, not doing Big Spender. They were at the MTV EMAs in 2005, which was watched by over a billion people around the world, and Borat, who was the host of the show, introduced them as international prostitutes.
Oh...
It's just, I mean, there's just so many things about this era, and especially surrounding the Pussycat Dolls, that just made me think, God, men were trash.
Men are fucking trash. But the thing is, it's coming up a lot now, is that people are showing on Twitter and stuff, interviews from back in the day, where female pop stars are having to answer the most ridiculous questions in interviews.
Mm.
And it's just like, how dare you put a woman under that scrutiny? How dare you put anyone but a young woman that is just trying to promote her music and you having to ask all these vulgar questions and she has to play the game because it was a different time. Isn't it crazy that we're saying that the noughties was a different time?
Mm.
So they're just having to awkwardly giggle or try and joke around it. And it's just...
It's just uncomfortable, isn't
it? Let them do their fucking thing.
It's just unnecessary. So following that, we get the second single from the PCD album, Stick With You.
Which is such a beautiful ballad.
That's why I say, hey, nobody gonna love me better. I must stick with you forever. Nobody gonna take me higher. I must stick with you. You know how to appreciate me. I must stick with you, my friend.
I distinctly remember when Stick With You came out because Australia went nuts for it. Like, it was on radio all the time. And I remember thinking, this is very, very clever because you've gone from, like, something so aggressive and so sassy and confident with Doncha, and then now you're showing a softer, more tender side, you know? And they just say, hey, there's more to Pussycat Dolls than you might think. I rewatched the video today and I had to laugh, Joel. That scene where they're all rehearsing, singing, and Nicole has her own mic and she's standing about 6 miles away from the other girls. You know, there's three girls clumped up around one microphone. Melody gets her own mic. Carmit gets her own mic. They're both standing together. Nicole just by herself with her own mic. No one else in the vicinity.
I do appreciate the respect of Carmit getting her own mic, though. Because Carmit would have the occasional vocal. Just because she doesn't do the big singing bit, she is still a vocalist in that group.
In that group, yeah, very much so. And you hear that more with the next single, Beep.
Mm.
The single debuted at number one in the UK, which became their second number one.
It debuted at number one?
Debuted at number one over here.
Wow.
It made number five in the US and in Australia number two.
Oh, that's lovely.
So before we leave Stick With You, let's just quickly note this is a Grammy-nominated song for the Pussycat Dolls.
In what category?
2007 Grammys, nominated for Best Pop Performance by a Duo or a Group. And guess who they lost to? Black Eyed Peas' My Humps.
I know who I'd give it to, Black Eyed Peas' My Humps.
I mean, that song is pretty iconic. That song is really iconic. But still, you know, it's just like, to think, hey, My Humps won a Grammy. Like, wow. You know, that's a song that was so ridiculed back in the day. I was like, bitch, you're hating. That's a Grammy-winning song. Next comes one of my favorites on the album, Beep, featuring will.i.am.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a, keep looking at my, cause it don't mean a thing if you're looking at my, huh. I'ma do my thing while you're playing with you.
Joel, I have a really embarrassing story to tell with this one.
Oh no.
So I think it was the 2005 McDonald's Work Christmas Party.
Oh.
The year that the album came out.
Yeah.
I did a performance of Beep. And I didn't tell anyone that I was doing it, except obviously the person organising the party. You know, they were going about their dinner and stuff throughout the night, and suddenly the lights dimmed.
Did you have McDonald's at your Christmas party?
No, honey, no. They were treating us. It was a nice venue as well. The lights dimmed all of a sudden. Someone at work gets up on stage and says, oh, you know, we now have a very special performance.
Aww.
And then the music starts, and I walk straight through the crowd.
What did you wear?
I was wearing, I can't remember, I think... I want to say I think this was the year I wore big black leather stiletto boots.
David.
With black skinny jeans and like a smart shirt.
Were you not incredibly nervous?
No. I was doing will.i.am and Nicole Scherzinger and Carmit and Melody's part.
That sheer confidence we had when we were younger. I know, like, so I ridiculous. Wish I had that back again.
I know, it was so ridiculous. But I just, yeah, I strutted to the front. I did my thing and... Yeah, it was just like literally everyone ran to the front, got out their phones.
You did backing track, you said.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you have any of the footage of this anywhere?
I really hope no one from McDonald's still has that. I don't know what I was thinking, but yeah, it was
good fun. Oh, Hanno, we've all done stuff.
It was just so listen, much fun.
I at Faye's wedding.
Your sister's wedding.
My sister Faye's wedding sang a 3-song medley.
Oh.
That she did not ask me to sing.
Wait, you had the track ready?
I had the track with me. It was a track I'd done at a few things. Oh, and it's so, like, so
which
cringe.
Which songs were they?
But, right, so it starts off with Like a Virgin a cappella. Then it goes into SOS by the Jonas Brothers.
Oh.
Into Tainted Love by Soft Cell.
Wow.
Into Tearing Up My Heart by NSYNC. Closes Full Circle, SOS by the Jonas Brothers, Fade Down.
Wow. I love it. And were that people just like going mental?
Oh, living for it. Yeah. Obviously, like so cringe now. Absolutely. Like, so want to crawl into a hole and
I
die.
Know, me too.
But you also got to look back and laugh.
And just go, you know what?
The thing is, like, I'm very like silly and all for a laugh, but I would never have the sheer audacity to do anything like that now because we have too much sense as people. But, you know, I can look back and be like, good for you, 17-year-old
yeah,
Joel.
Yeah,
it was
you.
Terrible. It was fucking terrible.
But you
and
know,
what a thing to do at your sister's wedding. But back to Beep. It was such a time where it was like, it was a big deal to have Will I Am of the Black Eyed Peas on your song.
Mm.
There's footage of Pussycat Dolls at GAY when it was still at the Astoria promoting Don'tcha, such a huge deal. And then they do their second song and they're like, this is a song from our album. It's got Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas on, you know, really sort of hyping it up, bigging it up.
Yeah, because this was meant to be the second single at one stage.
Which would make a lot more sense.
Yeah, it sort of, but, you know, you wanted a little bit of contrast, so I get why they went with Stick With You. But, you know, that GAY gig you just mentioned was their first UK show. The single made number two, Beat made number two in the UK and number three in Australia, and around this time in March, they went on tour supporting the Black Eyed Peas around North America.
So, I'll just tell you, they also supported the Black Eyed Peas in the UK.
Ooh!
They were very special guests of the Black Eyed Peas at Wembley Arena. And myself and Harry, my best friend, went to that concert. That was the first time I ever saw the Pussycat Dolls. We liked the Black Eyed Peas, but we were going to see the Pussycat Dolls. So I've seen them live three times.
So this was the first?
This was the first time.
But you save your energy for the headline show. Then you can really go off. Then we'll
really get into it.
But we're about to really go off now, because we're now talking about the best song on the album, Buttons.
So I'm going to go out and say this is my favourite Pussycat Dolls song, full stop.
Oh, same. And that music video, Joel.
Oh, David, you don't need to Joel me, I know.
This is their best music video.
Oh, God, yeah. And I love the dance break added to it. Boom, 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 boom.
And when they, drop to the floor and the flames come out, I screamed. I mean, I just couldn't.
So this was such a time. And the intro and how Nicole will sing that live, that the Middle Eastern bit that you're saying.
Oh, yeah, where she's humming it as well. Yeah.
She'll do that live. Yeah. Where a lot of other vocalists wouldn't. They would just let the track play for that.
But this is Nicole Scherzinger we're talking about.
Yeah.
When she can do something, she will let you know.
She doesn't need to be asked at a wedding either. She'll...
The Buttons music video won a MTV VMA award that year for Best Dance Video.
Wow.
It was nominated for Best Choreography but didn't win. Okay, Joel, so after the iconic Buttons, we have I Don't Need a Man.
I love this song.
This is great. So this also is the first Pussycat Dolls single that was co-written by Nicole. She did this with Rich Harrison of A-Marie and Beyoncé fame. It's a very signature Rich Harrison song. You know, you've got the big horns, big funk vibes. It's a very Super Drug Store kind of music.
Yeah. If they were releasing a range exclusively to Super Drug, it would play and it would be like, hi, we're the Pussycat Dolls. Find our mascara in aisle two. To you.
By this point, the album had been out for a year already. Wait a Minute, featuring Timbaland, comes out in October 2006.
Wow. Timbaland then became the hire for a hit producer.
Yeah.
So this is the final single with Comi, who I stan. She's an OG member of the group, and I love her. And then what I find is so silly when they go down from six girls to five girls is that they dye Jessica's hair red. And it's like, do you think... There's still one member less. We know that's Jessica. Like, what are you trying to do by trying to sort of make her look like two members at one time? What, you think we're just going to be like, okay?
It's so trivialising, isn't it? But I think that kind of reflected management's view of everyone's role in the band.
Yeah. So in this era, I saw the Pussycat Dolls in concert three times.
Yes, we're going to talk about the tour that comes right after this. Amazing.
So, the first time was with the Black Eyed Peas, as I mentioned. Then the next time I saw them was The Pussycat Dolls Live in London, which is available on DVD to purchase. It was shown on T4. It was a... Vodafone were doing these secret gigs at the time. And I was with Vodafone, so I got a text and it was just sort of enter this competition to win tickets to see the Pussycat Dolls at a secret location. So I entered and I won 2 free tickets.
Amazing.
See the Pussycat Dolls in a secret gig at a secret location. And it was at Windsor Racecourse or something random like that.
I don't know what that is.
So it was still really far out of the way. But yeah, so we actually got a free day at the races, but I didn't watch any of that. We just waited at the front for the Pussycat Dolls on this stage. And then this was the most monumental thing ever. I still remember it so vividly. It was so exciting.
Froggy dropped that beat, what? Oh,
turn it up!
I don't think they know.
Turn it up! You can't just have one. You gotta have all six, baby. Put the cats on!
I was right at the front, absolutely living it. They did a set of basically the first album, and they had the tunnel thing. Their staging was great. They were on fire.
When you say tunnel, is that tunnel we saw in the Buttons music video where they go through and then they're like crawling? Oh my God.
So they had that on their live show, and then they would do like bits on top of it. They'd come through it and then on the front. And if you watch it, I pop up quite a few times.
It's so
embarrassing.
You sent me a clip of it before, and you know, with a timestamp of where you were. There you were, big shaggy hair, just like mental, just
like,
shaking furiously.
I was 15, like
freaking out.
It was. I watched that clip today, and instead of being embarrassed, it actually warmed my heart to just see the pure joy. So yeah, it was very, very sweet to look at that.
And we're going to make a GIF of it.
I'm not sure about that. We'll definitely put it on the Insta story though. But then to top it all off, David, Jessica kept pointing to me throughout the whole concert. Throughout the whole concert. I'm not even joking. Like, literally.
What was she doing?
Just with her moves, and she'd always sort of look at me and point. Oh. And I'm not even exaggerating.
She can spot a super fan.
Yeah.
Sound great, Ashley. What's up, y'all? I'm Jessica. One question. Where are all my pussycats at?
Right there.
Yeah. What's up, London? My name is Nicole. And I got one question for y'all.
And then the icing on the cake. I met them all afterwards.
You got to go backstage.
No, I didn't go backstage. So basically, because it was an outdoor concert, a bunch of us just sort of literally went round, like, the gated part and just waited. And literally, I met them all and got a selfie with them all. But this is on my tiny little Sony Ericsson Walkman phone back in the day.
Oh, bless.
The photos are up on Bebo. I need to try and find that Bebo page isn't in existence. I've tried to find it. And Nicole said, "That is the brightest light I have ever seen."
Because
it wasn't just a flash. It was just a constant sort of... It was like how when you turn the torch on now.
On your phone.
Like
oh my
that.
God, you blinded Nicole Scherzinger.
I blinded Scherzinger. Nicole Scherzinger. Whoever was next to me or near me kind of ran a fan site and got Nicole to shoot a video message, which is what we need to do if we ever bump into anyone like this. And she was like, "The site you run, you post pictures I've not even seen of myself." I think, Jessica was the nicest one. And after her pointing at me and...
And like being so nice to you in person.
That's when I became a jet light.
I mean,
Jessica
I don't need to tell
well.
You this, but you know Jessica Sutter's Show Me.
Yeah.
That is an absolute bop. I mean, it's an absolute crime that it's not on Spotify.
That excitement you have as a 15-year-old, I've long forgotten what that's like as a 27-year-old. So it's so sweet to
just
have
feel
those
that.
Warm memories.
Yeah.
And then the third and final time to date that I've seen the Pussycat Dolls was their first big headline tour. It was halfway between very special guest and co-headliner, Rihanna.
So they released that Live in London DVD in December 2006. I mean, get that Christmas cash.
Yeah, get that Christmas cash.
But also, that was also when they were literally in around the UK doing their headline show. So that must have been when you saw them again.
Yes.
And you were on the DVD they were selling in the fucking merch stand.
Signing copies. But what I will say is I remember being slightly disappointed because it was basically the same setup as the two previous times I've seen them.
I mean, it wasn't possible to have more songs because they still only had the one album.
Imagine doing an arena tour after having one album out.
I know. Them as PCD, the global brand, you know, between 2005 and when they eventually wrap up the group in 2009, they had a clothing line. I remember that being stocked in Target in Australia.
Wow.
They had a makeup line, they had lingerie, they had perfumes. Like, I mean, at one stage, the Pussycat Dolls were going to get their own dolls by Hasbro.
And then there was outrage against it, wasn't there?
Yeah, saying they weren't kid appropriate or whatever. But also, crucially, around this time in November 2006, Robin Anton was creating a new TV series. Pussycat Dolls, The Search for the Next Doll.
Yeah, I lived for this TV show. Did you watch it when it was on?
No, I didn't. But I was aware of it, but I didn't watch it. But in any case, if you, just like me, want to now catch up on it, all 8 episodes are on YouTube. The premise of this is they go and search the whole nation for the 7th member of the Pussycat Dolls.
It's basically, it is sort of America's Next Top Model meets like American Idol or X Factor, but it's become a member of the Pussycat Dolls. Each week they would all do a performance. There might be a challenge. Sometimes there was a music video challenge. Sometimes they'd perform in groups.
I'm telling you, if you don't dance like this, you're out of here.
They will be judged by the ones who know the Pussycat Dolls the best.
You're going to be basically a little celebrity.
I have a lot to bring to the table, and it's not just about one thing. I feel like it's my whole package.
So then you have the winner, and then she never joins the band.
She did like one performance with them.
But that was just... So the one performance she did was in the finale of the TV show.
And then that was it.
So yeah, so when she joined the band, she did Don't You or whatever with them. But then that was it. So it wasn't an external performance. It was just that that finale episode performance.
Also, I have to say, before we wrap 2006...
Shout out to the AMA's performance. So, what's the first single where Melody will have random ad-libs at the end? Because it's not Don't You and it's not Sway, so it would be...
Buttons. No, she's in Beat.
Beat. Because it's funny how that then becomes a signature thing. It's rumoured that they all had an argument before or something, and she wasn't going to do the performance. Then she changes her mind and just storms on for her ad-libs, which is why they're so kind of extra.
That whole AMA's performance is so unfortunate because Buttons should have been a big moment for them. But when you watch that performance, Nicole is still trying to like shout out to the crowd. And while Melody's trying to wail over the top, and they're both just kind of competing.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit cringe. Anyway, somewhere in the midst of all this, Nicole Scherzinger found the time to do 3 feature appearances. Of the 3 Nicole Scherzinger feature creature singles, the biggest one was her collaboration with P. Diddy, Come To Me.
Oh, that was sort of like a cult hit with me and my group of friends. It was fun to look back at.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's a little bit basic, but, you know, still made number 4 in the UK. She made an announcement sometime in March that her debut album was coming that summer.
Come, it did not.
Her name is Nicole.
I remember, like, being in shops. Do you remember back in the day, shops would be like, you can pre-order this album.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have the right cover or anything. It would be a label and you'd be like, you could take that to the counter and pre-order it.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that in shops. Like, yeah. I remember seeing it to be pre-ordered.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty fucking final. I mean, I'm sure somewhere out there is the final track listing. I haven't looked at it. But, you know, the album artwork is there. It was finalized. I mean, this was the dawn of the age where I really used to go on a lot of these like music blogs all the time. And a lot of songs from this era of Nicole's recording career leaked throughout this period, even in the lead up to the album. In fact, her first single, which will come out in July 2007, Whatever You Like, actually leaked early.
So was that before Baby Love?
Before Baby Love.
Right.
Whatever You Like is a proper like, urban banger. Like, it's produced by Polo de Don, who did Fergie's London Bridge.
Didn't chart here, though, did it?
No, honey.
So I don't think it must have not had an official release.
It barely charted in America. Like, I mean, it was bubbling under or something. I remember gay R&B nights. They used to play this and I would be like, the only gay on the dance floor, knows all the words, aww, giving you that full performance.
So then she did also release Baby Love and that did chart at 14 here in the UK.
I think that had a little bit more promo over here in Europe. Yeah. Like she went...
That's the one I've heard of.
Yeah.
And I did not like it.
Unfortunately, none of her solo singles in this time landed or fared particularly well. So her and Interscope Records both mutually decided to shelve Her Name is Nicole. And what she did was she took a couple of these songs from the 75 to 100 that she wrote and she put together Doll Domination, the second Pussycat Dolls album.
Single-handedly put together Doll Domination.
That's what she wants to tell you.
So what is interesting, if you look back at the time between the first and second Pussycat Dolls album, online and stuff, there'd be reports of... If they were off interviews with the girls and stuff, they would literally be saying, I don't know what's happening with the Pussycat Dolls. They, as far as they were concerned, it might be over. The thing is, Nicole as the Pussycat Dolls has a great job. The spotlight is on her. She's getting to sing all the songs. She's getting all the glory. I love her as part of the group. Yeah. I do love her with the rest of the Pussycat Dolls. And
it definitely was a bigger energy.
It
and
just
it was
works.
Just a spectacle. It works.
Because I sent you a link, I don't think you ever watched it, a few months ago, of Nicole basically did a big set of a show, probably, I think, last year or the year before, and it was mainly Pussycat Dolls songs, and it was just her with backing dancers, and it just was not the same.
Anyway, let's take us right back in time where we were. It is now May 2008. She's put all her energy into a new Dolls album. So we have When I Grow Up.
Originally offered to the undisputed princess of pop, Britney Spears. It was reported Britney filmed a cameo for When I Grow Up music video, but it never made the cut and there's no footage of it online or anything.
That's so insane. Oh my God, this music video would have done amazing with some great cameos. Why didn't they think of that? Or maybe they did and it didn't.
Just didn't work.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was written and produced by Darkchild, who, you know, was doing Janet Jackson's Feedback, would go on to do Lady Gaga's Telephone, which was also another track offered to Britney.
Yes, it was.
We have to put ourselves in a headspace. It's now 2008. The landscape has changed. Britney has came changed. Out with Blackout in 2007, and that fucking changed everything.
That changed the pop game. The mainstream pop game
done.
Was shook.
Shook. The table was shaking. All everybody wanted at this point was dark, electronic, urban beats. That was the vibe.
Sexy pop that's sort of being like rolled in the dirt.
When I grow up, I wanna be famous, I wanna be a star, I wanna be a movie. When I grow up, I wanna see the world, drive nice cars, I wanna have movies. When I grow up, be on TV, people know me, be on magazines. When I grow up, fresh and clean, number one chick, when I step out on the scene.
Really good music video, really good song. They were back with a bang. I will say, I went from adoring the Pussycat Dolls to this album and this era does not quite do it for me as much as the first album did.
Mm.
So I was at college by the time this came out and studying performing arts, people were living for this single, but I was just like, I don't know, I found the girls that were like obsessing over it a bit basic. Like,
and you
know,
didn't
want to
be
like,
part of that.
No. If it comes on when I'm out now, I'd like have a really good time.
Oh, hell yeah. To a lot of people, this is one of PCD's signature songs.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to give it to them. This music video became the most nominated video at the VMAs the following year. It was up for Video of the Year and it won Best Dance Video.
There you go.
Let's quickly talk about, I know we don't really feel this album in a lot of ways, but let's quickly talk about Doll Domination, which came out in September 2008. Yeah.
apart from the singles, I do like the singles, don't get me wrong, pretty much, but the album does not do it for me.
So this original Doll Domination album was actually all Nicole. You don't really hear anyone else.
Bonkers that it's such a long album when PCD, the debut album, was so tight and concise and bop, 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 banger, banger, banger. And this is quantity over quality. I really appreciate the fact that all the girls got a solo track on this album.
Yes.
Don't appreciate that they then took them off.
Yeah. You know, we didn't even so much as hear a melody ad-lib on this album, really, until we have the re-release of the album. So I think as a compromise to keep the other girls happy, they say, here, we're going to do a bonus disc. Each of you get a track. Go pick one from the pile. I think that's what happened. And you know what the funny thing is? Even on that bonus disc, Nicole still had a solo track.
Yeah. On the one I listened to, she had two at the end because Baby Love was on one version as well.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember when it came out and I was really excited by the concept they all had a solo track. And then and now, I'm just so disappointed that they were all just so budget.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, they went and then performed these songs on the tour. And it's like, come on, just give the... Like, you want them to have a banger each.
Yeah. Give them something they can be proud of.
And really, they can own it on stage and have their moment.
Just before we leave the album, I just want to shout out my favourite album track, Magic, produced by Timbaland. Dark, nocturnal banger. Live for that. And also, there's a song on there written by Neo called Happily Never After, which actually was offered to the Backstreet Boys to record for their 2007 album.
Wow.
It didn't make the cut, so Nicole took it on. And I used to put this song on like several mixed CDs that I would make for my mum.
Oh, that is so sweet.
Now, this is a song about a woman that's walking out of a difficult relationship, and my mum had just divorced my dad at this time. So it was just like, I was making her lots of these like empowering songs by female artists, and this song was in there, and it just, this song always makes me think of my mum, basically.
Oh, David, that is so sweet.
So I just want to mention that.
Oh, shout out to Mama Lim. You go, girl.
Shout out to Mama Lim. She's living happily ever after now. So shall we get to the next single? I hate this part.
Yeah. Did you see that on one of those video memes that go around all the time? Someone had put, like, this is about the first 5 minutes of Bottoming.
You've just ruined this song.
I'm sorry,
me.
David.
Quickly, we want to whiz through the other singles as well. So they had What You Think About That featuring Missy Elliott as the next big single. You know, they had the girls performing on Dancing with the Stars with Missy Elliott. That was a big moment.
I think some of the magic was lost and some of the sort of freshness and edge. And how you're saying pop is a different landscape by now.
And then comes 2009...
This is when I then really got interested in the Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, really? Jai Ho?
Yeah. Why are you act so fucking shocked?
I don't know. I just thought... I don't know. I didn't know if you would come back. So there was this film coming out, Slumdog Millionaire, critically acclaimed. Jimmy Iovine had an idea to do a sexed-up Western version of A.R. Rahman's song Jai Ho, and he... originally just wanted Nicole to do it. Like, it wasn't meant to be a Pussycat Dolls thing. She goes and records it, and then before they put it out, they decided to release it as Pussycat Dolls featuring Nicole Scherzinger because they really didn't have any confidence that it would do well as just Nicole. They needed the strength of the Pussycat Dolls brand.
Oh, okay. So it was... okay. And it's a shame because I feel like this probably could have done well for her as a solo single.
Do you think?
Because there's so much going on.
Just keep it clean.
literally, when you see the Pussycat Dolls featuring Nicole Scherzinger, you instantly go, oh, shade, what's going on?
Still to this day, I look at it, I was like, maybe some of the members didn't know this was the case. They didn't know what was going on because Melody didn't react particularly well to it.
Of course she didn't. So that was the day after. So they were supporting Britney Spears on the circus tour in the States. And she, literally, it's a time when they're kind of doing bits to the audience. They're doing a little talk, or Nicole's probably pumping up the crowd. Melody literally just grabs her mic and storms in and talks to the crowd. And she goes, I think she was in her hometown that night or something. So she probably had that extra confidence. She was just like, I would just like to thank all my family and friends for supporting me, even though I'm not the lead. And she just goes on and does this big random spiel. And then you just see Nicole's like, just like picks it up. And it's like, okay. And just like, pure professional. Let's bump back on with the show. It was a very diva unprofessional moment, I have to say.
Yeah.
You can't just do that. In such something that is such a rehearsed piece, the show, your talking parts, even they're still very rehearsed. You can't just start off doing a rant.
Yeah, Melody, like, get a MySpace blog.
Yeah.
So, off the success of Jai Ho, the label decides to do Doll Domination 2.0.
They cut out all the shit. Unfortunately, it's just like a mini EP.
Well, the UK got a mini EP of 6 tracks, which was like basically Jai Ho, When I Grow Up, or whatever. And then suddenly these 2 other tracks appeared out of nowhere, Painted Windows, which features Melody, and then we had Top of the World, which is one of my favorite Pussycat Doll songs. And finally, before we end this era, the girls do go on to release 2 incredible singles. There's Bottle Pop featuring Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Tom Aspect.
Yeah, I can't reference this song without thinking of Tom's excellent pop music podcast, Bottle Pop.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. That's literally all I think about now. And also they had a re-recording of Hush Hush, Hush Hush.
Okay. So
okay, this is the shit.
The version of Hush Hush on the original release, so dull.
Oh no, don't say that. I love the ballad version on the original. But this,
I don't like it, honey. This is give the gays everything they want.
They were like, look, we're about to clock off, so as a thank you to the gays.
As thank you to our fans, the gay community. Yeah, literally, they give you everything and mixed in with the disco.
I mean, they've done it as a mashup with Gloria Gaynor's I Will Survive. And this music video just absolutely, my gay ass was shaking when this came out. Again, Side Eye, featuring Nicole Scherzinger.
Yeah, apparently, but then the single cover does not say that.
Oh, really? The single cover did say that from what I've seen.
In some territories, they did bill it as, because even when you look on the charts, some of them it says featuring Nicole and some it doesn't. So I think just it was territory dependent. Maybe it was really in the guidelines of the contractual obligations of it. It's like, okay.
In Romania.
Yeah, Romania, we can give you featuring Nicole Scherzinger. In some country no one's ever heard of, they're all featuring Melody Thornton. We got that to keep her at bay. In Genovia, the fictional country from The Princess Diaries, she's the only member of the Pussycat Dolls. What a way to go. David, can I be billed as featuring Joel Babington on this podcast?
Absolutely. So basically, after Hush Hush, Hush Hush came out in May 2009, Robin announced that there was going to be a new lineup, new members joining Nicole.
That's mental, isn't it?
There's a rumor, and please tell us it's not so. The Pussycat Dolls, have they broken up?
No, they have not broken up. And by the way, no, rumors no.
Now, Pussycat Dolls, I'm not broken up, by the way. We're actually getting ready to do new music. I am going to bring in a few new faces, so get ready for that.
So if they're going to be new dolls, then that means that some of the old dolls are going away.
Well, you know, some of the old dolls, like, listen.
Nicole's
here to stay.
Okay. Okay, good.
And then the following year, in 2010, she tweeted a photo of Nicole in a lineup with four other girls. The new Pussycat Dolls, she said. And one of the girls was a former Gwen Stefani Harajuku girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I think by the end of 2010, Nicole said in an interview that she had quit the group because she didn't want to do the band with new members. You know, it didn't feel right
to her.
She
wanted to do the band with one member herself.
No, I think the sentiment was that she wouldn't do it with other band members. Like, she was so close to the other girls that she couldn't do it with these new recruits.
I would love the Pussycat Dolls to come back. How do you feel about the way they left it?
I feel like if they want to do a throwback show, I'd be definitely up for seeing that. But I want to see them as a united front. Like, I want to see it, you know, like lots of fun, very camp, and just everyone just like, let's not take ourselves too seriously. Like, let's just go back to just
sisterhood.
Yes, sisterhood fun. And having fun.
Apparently, the reason why the reunion didn't happen is because Robin Anton wasn't prepared to pay them enough, which I think is shocking.
I mean, it doesn't shock me. We know that Robin Anton is putting together a new Pussycat Dolls lineup with Pia Mia. Do you know what a Pia Mia is?
She's a model.
She's a singer too. She's got some tracks out.
Has she?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to ask you, do you know if she can sing? She's got like a Nicole Scherzinger powerhouse voice? No.
I mean, this
is a subtle vocal.
This is a new generation, honey. This is a 2019 kind of girl group. It's not about belting. It's not about that.
I love that when they were put out the dancer audition advertisements for this, it said singing ability not necessary.
Oh, where's the use?
So at least they're being honest about
yeah, exactly.
And I just remember we were sort of fascinated by the fact that there was a lead vocal from one girl and then one girl would do singy bits at the end.
I just think the world weren't ready for a group configuration like the Pussycat Dolls. Like,
you know who did not get it at all? Girls Aloud. Cut to the clip.
What they're doing at the moment and the idea to have her as the front girl and then the girls behind, it works.
I don't know about that. You never get the chance to hear anybody else, so you just assume she is, apart from that girl that really annoys me that goes, yeah, all the time. You never really hear anybody else.
And they wanted to launch her as a solo artist in the beginning, didn't they? And that was basically why they brought the dancers in, to make it a group. And it has worked better that way.
And when you've got dancers like that, the performance is just like, wow, it's like breathtaking.
Yeah.
I would actually like to hear them all sing.
Yeah. I don't know if they can. I think they're more, I think some of them are more dancers. Yeah.
Anyway,
say your thank yous and goodbyes.
Let's wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for listening, guys. Let's all have a wonderful 2019. You can find us on all socials at Right Back Pod. So that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you're listening on iTunes and you like what you're listening to, please give us a 5-star review. Genuinely, thank you so much for listening. This is just a thing we do for love. So it's such a wonderful thing that people are listening to it and enjoying it. Do give us a little tweet, because we absolutely love a DM on Instagram or a tweet seeing that you enjoy it.
We just love the attention, we like love, Nicole.
We love the attention. There's just two Nicoles here. Their name is Joe and David. The album, soon to be shelved. But yeah, and you can follow us individually as well at Dr_JoelB and at lovelimmy/feedlimmy. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys, and we'll see you another time next week.
We'll see you another time. I wonder what song David's going to put here to close out on.
Bye.